Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 31. For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. Their rock is not our rock. I suppose one of the best loved hymns of the Christian faith is Rock of Ages. I am given to understand that Augustus Toplady, who wrote that hymn, was inspired to write it after seeking refuge from a vicious storm in a cleft of a huge rock. And so he wrote, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin a double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Nothing can for sin atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Over in the land of India, 325 million people, about half of that population, embrace a religion called Hinduism. It is their belief that if they work diligently and experience a round of reincarnations, that someday they will be made pure enough to enter and be a part of their great deity, the Brahma. But ladies and gentlemen, their rock is not our rock. For the Brahma has not eyes to see and has not hands to save. In the countries of China and Japan, over 200 million people bow down before the statue of Buddha. And they believe that if they follow that 8 steps of what they call the holy path, that one day they shall be given the privilege to enter the world of the enlightened one, their deity, Buddha. But their rock is not our rock. In the Middle Eastern countries, the second largest religion of the world is embraced by more than 450 million Muslims, and they believe that if they work and pray, and incidentally, 5 times every day, they turn their face to the city of Mecca in Arabia, and they pray, and their prayer is that one day they will be able to make that pilgrimage to the holy city of Mecca, and if they do, if they are privileged to make the pilgrimage to the city of Mecca, they will one day enter the paradise and glory of their God. But ladies and gentlemen, their rock is not our rock. Up in the state of Oklahoma, A young Indian woman will take a twig and bind a feather about that twig and decorate that twig with beads and throw that twig to her wind god, Nial, and turn her face immediately and run in the other direction, hoping that she will never see where the twig goes. And she prays all the while she runs that such an act would appease her wind god. And if she incurs the favor of her wind god, she will one day make a trip to the happy hunting ground. But their rock is not our rock. For our rock is the rock of ages. One day Moses led 2.5 million people out of a country of bondage and into a land of wilderness. And the Bible tells us that they came to a place called Rephidim. And there was no water there. Can you imagine the cities of Dallas and Fort Worth and not a drop of water? And the people chided against Moses and cried aloud, "Why hast thou brought us into this parching land? Would to God we had perished in Egypt." And Moses prayed. And God said to Moses, "Take thy rod and go yonder to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. And there I will stand before thee and strike, Moses, the rock, and there shall come water." And he did. And it did, and they drank. One day, Jesus, in the city of Jerusalem, was attending a feast of the Jews. On the last day of that week-long feast, Jesus stood in the midst of that multitude and said, "If any man thirst, if any man thirst, rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." One day, the Apostle Paul sat down to write a book. We call it the Book of Corinthians. And in that letter, Paul wrote concerning the journeys of Israel. And he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that they all did eat the same spiritual meat. And they all did drink the same spiritual drink. For they all drank of that rock which followed them, and that rock is Christ. This is our rock. Their rock is not our rock, for our rock is Christ, and he is the rock of ages. A rock speaks of durability. When we want to compare something that is strong and durable and lasting, we usually say it is as steadfast as the rock of Gibraltar. A rock speaks of security. It speaks of solidarity. It speaks of a sure foundation. And I am happy to report to you today that in the Lord Jesus Christ, our rock, we shall endure. We shall be strong. We shall not be fearful nor afraid. We shall be everlastingly steadfast. For their rock is not our rock, for our rock is the rock of ages. If I were to title my message this morning, it would simply be The Rock of Ages. And there are three things that I would have you to note about this Rock of Ages. First, the Rock of Ages provides for us strength in the time of our weakness. I do not have to tell you that at our strongest, we are weak. Moses writes in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 33 at verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Somehow I think that Moses, because he also wrote in the 32nd chapter about the eagle stirring her nest, I think he must have had in mind the figure of the eagle teaching her young to fly. I understand that the mother eagle will take the eaglets out of the nest and place them on a broad span of wings. And up, and up, and up, and up she soars until she comes to the desired point of altitude. And then what seems to be almost a cruel act on her part transpires. For she closes her wings, and off the wings fall the little eaglets. And down, 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 down they go, until it appears that they will be struck against the jagged rocks below. But before that tragedy comes, Mother Eagle sweeps down and underneath the little eaglets and catches them on her wings, and up they go again. And I say to you this morning, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Then Moses wrote what I think is one of the most assuring verses in the Bible. In Deuteronomy chapter 33 at verse 25. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days are, so shall thy strength be. Oh, how many times have I turned to that verse? How many times in darkness and discouragement, when it seemed the light of day would never come, when it seems the toils of the road were too much, when it seemed that human strength would not be sufficient, how many times have we turned to that verse and read it for assurance, as thy days are, so shall thy strength be. Some of you mothers out there, you're burdened about the daughter that's gone astray. Let me give you God's promise. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. You daddies who have the awesome burden of bringing the family in the right way, and there are dark hours, and it seems from one week to the next you can't make it. But let me give you the promise again. As thy days are, so shall thy strength be. Not as thy years or as thy months or as thy weeks, but as thy days are. God doesn't want you to trust him for a year in advance. God doesn't want you to trust him for a week in advance. God wants you to trust him today. Whatever the burden, whatever the problem, whatever the difficulty of your life, rest assured, as thy days are, so shall thy strength be. I'm here to tell you that our Rock of Ages provides for us strength in the hour of weakness. And in the second place, I would say to you this morning that our Rock of Ages provides for us a shelter in the time of storm. Whoever said the Christian life was a bed of roses? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? No, it's not a bed of roses. But in the time of the storms of life, there is a shelter. Ezekiel said, the Lord hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Turn ye, Israel, from your wicked ways and live. For why will you die when the sheltering rock is so nearby? Some of you out there this morning, all you need to do is make one step. You're that close to the sheltering rock of salvation. He is our shelter in the time of storm. You know, when the winds blow the hardest, the anchor holds the safest. The fiercer the storm, the firmer the anchor. I'll never forget when we used to visit my grandmother. She was an old-fashioned, God-fearing, Christ-honoring, shouting Methodist. We'd visit her down in the country. I can almost see her now with the old-fashioned bonnet, coming in with an armload of wood and starting up an old fire in the wood stove. Now all we got to do is bingo, push a button. Bingo, flip a switch. Bingo, and everything's all right. Maybe we'd be better off to go back to some of those days sometimes. Just to remember. Just to remember. Like a fella that built a colossal house, and he left one room unfinished with a dirt floor and a wood stove. And somebody asked him, but why in such a house is this? And he said, because I like to go back once in a while and just look at it and remember. And remember. My old grandmother used to sing as she went around the chores of the house. The Lord's our rock, in him we hide a shelter in the time of storm. Safe, secure, whate'er betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The storms are coming, ladies and gentlemen. The storm of eternal wrath and indignation and judgment is about to break. And when it does, the only safe hiding place is in Jesus Christ, the Rock of Ages. I have found a hiding place when sore distress, Jesus, Rock of Ages, strong and true. In a weary land, I in him shall rest. He keeps me in all that I do. Jesus, Rock of Ages, let me hide in thee. Jesus, Rose of Sharon, sweet thou art to me. Lily of the valley, bright and morning star, fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The Rock of Ages is our safety place in the hour of storm. Then I think in the third place, our Rock of Ages provides for us salvation in the time of our lostness. The Bible makes it clear that all men are sinners. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, that is Christ, the iniquity of us all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth righteous, no, not one. There is not a just man that liveth upon the earth and doeth good and sinneth not. That simply means that we're all lost. The Bible says the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. A Chinese man came to the coast of California. And there he was won to a saving knowledge of Christ. When they examined him about his salvation and asked him questions concerning his faith, they said to him, Tell us, if you will, how you found Christ. And he said, I no find Christ. Christ not lost. I lost, and Christ find me. Oh, beloved, today there is an anchor, there is a shelter, there is a Savior, there is hope for you. You say, but preacher, I've been baptized and I've learned the catechisms and I've been christened and all of this. Well, that's good. But I want to know, have you been saved by the power of God? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? When you stand before God, he's not going to ask you what church you came out of. He's not going to ask you whether you learned the catechisms. He's not going to ask you whether you were sprinkled or baptized. The question in that hour is, what did you do with Jesus? And I'm going to tell you what you can't do with him this morning. You might reject him. You might turn away from him. You might leave him out of your life. But you can never ignore the Son of God. When you go home today, you might pull all the shades and say, I'll get in my own little world. But he'll be there. You might go into the bedroom tonight and turn out all the lights and close all the doors. But he'll be there. You might go to the bar and pick up a glass, but in it you'll see his reflection. You might go on the job tomorrow and get with a gang and say, I'll forget him. But you can't forget him. You might stand behind the counter, but he'll stand on the other side. You might climb a ladder or climb the pole, but he'll be at the top. You may go down into the heart of the earth, but he'll be there. You cannot forget. You cannot ignore him. For he is there. Has it ever occurred to you what it really means to be lost? It simply means this, that you'll be eternally separated from God. It means that you'll suffer in the fires of hell forever and forever. According to the Bible, every man who goes to hell is going to have his five senses. He'll hear, he'll smell, he'll taste, he'll feel, he'll know. I believe, and I don't know how to say this, but perhaps hell wouldn't be so bad, if I can say that and you can understand it. Perhaps hell wouldn't be so bad, ladies and gentlemen, with all of its fire. And I believe it's literal. Perhaps hell would not be so bad if you didn't take your memory with you there. Abraham said to that rich man in hell, remember. 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 What an awesome thought to know that in hell our memory goes with all of those who go into that region of the damned. To lose your wealth is much. To lose your health is more. To lose your soul is such a loss that nothing can restore. But you don't have to be lost. You don't have to go to hell. The sheltering rock is so nearby. Why will you die? Why will you die? their rock is not our rock. Our rock is the rock of ages. Our strength in the time of weakness. Our shelter in the time of storm. Our salvation in the time of our lostness. I have a footnote and then I'm through. The rock of ages provides for us an eternal foundation upon which to build our lives. Jesus gives the story of two men, a foolish builder and a wise builder. Jesus said the foolish man went out and built his house upon the sands. And the storms came, and the winds blew, and the rains fell, and the floods rose, and that house fell. Why? Because it was built upon the sand. But the wise man built his house upon a rock. And the rains fell, and the winds blew, and the storms came, and the floods arose. But that house stood. Why? Because it was built upon the rock. You can build your life upon the sands of human idealism and human philosophy and human reasoning, but the wind of judgment will blow it down. You can build your house and your life upon the rock of ages. And it'll stand forever. It'll stand forever. Over in the city of London, a street preacher was preaching. And it was the shamrock season. And there was a heckler in the crowd. And he tried to heckle this street preacher. Just right out in the middle of his sermon, the heckler said, "Preacher, what do you know about shamrock?" The preacher just went on preaching. And the second time, "What do you know about shamrock?" And the preacher ignored it. And then the third time, the old heckler screamed out, "Preacher, what do you know about shamrock?" And the old preacher put his hand skyward and said, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, and all other rocks are shamrocks." Hallelujah. Hallelujah! I'm standing on that rock today. And the rock of church membership is a shamrock. And the rock of righteousness in yourself is a shamrock. And the rock of baptism is a shamrock. And the rock of doing the best you can is a shamrock. But Christ is the solid rock. Their rock is not our rock. For our rock is the rock of ages. No wonder we sing, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure." Let's stand.